thankful this morning that he's a young teacher. 32 years of my life, I've wandered around out in sin. Burdened down, troubled in my mind, tired in my soul. But when I come to Jesus, I don't know whether I can express with words or not this morning how easy his yoke is. But I know that God is in contact with everyone in a way. He looks down upon this world and sees men and women and boys and girls just looking around in darkness, not having any definite course to follow in life. You don't know what's going to happen the next minute. You know, none of us know what's going to happen the next minute. But you know, the Lord has a way of yoking up with us and arranging our life and causing things to happen in our life. You know, God is a creator. And I look back over my life, and I'm sure some of the older saints can say the same thing. And they see how that God just does everything in place. You know, God is a God of law and order. God doesn't do things just haphazardly. God has a plan. And his plan is the only plan that really works in our life. I thought about Joseph when his mother loved him so much that she made him that little coat of many colors. His brothers began to feel jealousy rise up in them. How awful they treated him and sold him down in Egypt. But Lord, you just look how God arranged. God was saying down in the future for those boys that were treating Joseph in such an awful way. He was a means of their supply when the famine was on. They depended upon Joseph. And they were so sorry that they had treated him so mean. But he said, you meant it for evil, but the Lord meant it for good. So this morning, I'd like for every one of us to lay down everything and close out the cares of life and consider your own soul. The Lord looked down from heaven and saw that wickedness was great in the earth. And he wanted to make a way whereby he could deliver men out of wickedness. And to help them to love one another, to be good to one another. I read in the Bible where the king's son would kill their own father. The mothers would do things to their children. That wasn't what God intended for people to be. He intended for people to love one another. He intended them to be good to one another. I read in the newspaper where men connive and scheme in order to destroy one another, that they might have a little gain. But I think about this song, that I've tried the road of sin and found this prospect all this year. I've proved the Lord and joys abound more than I could believe. You know, I see people today that are out in the world, some of them living in boxes, some are sitting over grates where a little heat has come out to warm them, Richard. I believe with all my heart that those people knew how to turn themselves to God, he could make a better arrangement in their life. It doesn't make any difference how great of an attainment you make in life. Without God, you'll wind up a failure. There's only one way to be a success, and that's in God. I found it to be so, dear one. Everything I did was a failure. I'd meet up with things and allow myself to get into circumstances where it looked like there was no way. And humanly, looking at it, there was no way. Oh, dear precious ones, this morning, God is a way maker. I never will forget dear old Sister Mason down at Bristow. When she'd pray for her children and pray for others, she said, Lord, I know you is a way maker. And that was so in my heart. I knew the Lord was a way maker. Abraham had such faith, hope in God, that he said that God takes those things that be not and makes them as though they were. Don't be afraid, dear one, to live and trust in God. Brother Stover and I, I don't remember who all else was with us, but we went down to pray for Sister Martha one night. I never will forget it. Just deep in my heart, Brother Stover was praying. He says, God, we're not afraid to put our case in your hands. You know, the one that spoke light into existence, the one that formed man out of the dust of the earth and created the breath of life. I'm not afraid to put my hand, myself in God's hand. Because we're all in His hands anyway, if we only recognize it. We're just one breath away from this morning. He holds our breath in His hand. And all He has to do is with good, with His mercy. I appreciated the prayer this morning. Testimony of Brother George put in, the grace of God is bringing salvation. That's what it takes, dear one. It appears to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should be righteous and sober in this present world. God wants us to live right. That's all salvation is about. I'd like to turn for a preliminary thought this morning to Romans, the first chapter. I'd like to read the 15th to the 17th verses. We don't know just where all God will take us this morning. I know He'll help us out because He knows this congregation better than I know it, that's gathered together like we are here this morning. And He knows all about every one of us. He knows the very thoughts and the intents of our hearts. He knows what you're thinking just now. He knows every attitude. So we're going to let the Lord just take us His way this morning, and I'm sure that He'll bless us all. The 15th verse of the first chapter of Romans, Paul was preaching to the Romans, and he said, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God has given us enough revelation just to see the world that he's made, that there is a greatness behind everything that we see out in the world today. I think about the trees, the grasses. I think about the little acorn seeds that can make a way to get into the ground and grow a great oak tree. And that great oak tree, all of the attributes within that little seed. But God caused it to activate itself by his divine power and his divine purpose that it would be for the welfare and the benefit of mankind. And I'm praising the Lord this morning for his mercies that he has extended to each one of us, that we might have access. He's fixed it to whereby everyone that will have salvation can have it. He's given us a franchise of the free moral agency of the power to choose. And no man can take that away from us. We exercise that unconsciously, day by day in our life. Our whole life is made up of choices. And we choose, we make the choice that we desire for our own self. Every man makes his own choice. That's why the scripture says that it won't be anymore that every man shall say, know the Lord to his neighbor, but everyone shall know me from the least to the greatest. I believe there's a consciousness in every man that there is a God. He may not know all about how to seek him and how to find him, but I believe there's something in man. You take the man that don't even know how to read or write. He'll go out and he'll plow the ground. And he'll plant seed. Because he has faith and confidence that God put something in that seed that would produce a harvest. You couldn't convince that man anywhere in the world that he's wasting his time planting seed. He may not know anything about other things, but he does know one thing, that God made the seed time and the harvest. If you get it in the ground, it's going to produce. And it's the same thing in us. If we get God in us, he's going to produce some fruit in our life. He designed man that way. He designed him that he might influence other men by his life that he lived. That's why he told the disciples in the 5th chapter of Matthew, when he gave all the Beatitudes, those were attributes that were to be compounded in the life of man. And he said, when you have all these in your life, and they're activated in your everyday life. He says, now you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. But it said the salt has lost its saltiness. Wherewith will it be salted? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. But oh, dear ones, God has fixed it. Where if your salt has lost its saltiness. I read and heard about this saltiness. You can take the salt that's lost its saltiness, and you don't even have to take it out of the container that it was in. You can take it back and put it in the salt mine, and it'll regain its saltiness. So if you're here this morning and have lost your saltiness, you can go back to the salt mine and regain your saltiness. Thank God for that. In the third chapter of St. John, I believe every one of us, even the little children, could quote this scripture this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever. There's no one can make the choice for you but yourself. Brother David and I worked with a man one time that was just full of foolishness. Brother David was a sober man. He didn't have time for any foolishness or jesting. And Ernie told me one day, he said, you know, Brother David don't have any right to tell me how to live. And I said, that's right, Ernie, he don't. You've got a right to choose for yourself how you live. And God lets you do that. God never will take away your free moral agency or the power to choose. You're a free man and a free woman. And if you lose your life or go down to a torment, you'll remember this one thing. We sang a song, Lost Forever. He says, if then you're lost and forgotten, writhing in flames of despair, you will remember that you have chosen to be there. I hear people say, well, if it wasn't for the way so-and-so lived, I'd try to live for the Lord. But if that's what it is, I don't want it here. Well, you're making a choice. Until we come to the place to realize that we're individuals responsible for our own lives, we never will make it. We've got to come to a conclusion and make a decision to choose that we're going to live for God. Everlasting life. It's going to be a different life than what we live here. I don't know all about how it's going to be in heaven, but I know one thing. We won't have to strive and labor like we do here. Everything will be wonderful. There's one thing that I appreciate that I have an anticipation to get to see when I get to heaven. There won't ever be anyone bawl me out. It makes me feel so bad when people bawl me out. There won't be no one do that up there, Brother Perkins. I believe everyone will love me up there. I believe I'll be more lovable probably than I am here. I probably am not very perfect in my manner of expression and speech the way I do sometimes, but I can be perfect in my heart toward God. If I know that God has cleansed me from my sins, if I know that, if I've really repented of my sins and forsake sin and don't sin anymore, Everybody makes a mistake. Human mistake. But a mistake is not sin. A mistake can be corrected. When I went to school, every once in a while the teacher would give us a little examination to find out how much we had learned. She'd give us about 20 questions. And then the next day, she'd take them home and she'd give us a grade. And everything that we had on there that was a mistake, she'd mark it with a red pencil or circle it with a red pencil. And I just knew I was answering those questions right. And you know, sometimes I'd have maybe two or three on there that was circled with a red pencil. And I went up to the teacher and I'd say, "Teacher, I want to know how I made that mistake." She said, "Well, we'll just get the book down." She'd get the book down and she'd say, "Got it? Oh, yeah, I see. I could correct that from then on, see, because I had an understanding of it." You know, if we stay with the book and measure our lives, the reason I'm talking the way I'm talking, this is some of my experience. And I'm sure you've had something like this. Maybe the teacher didn't have to correct you. But the Word of God, Paul said in the 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy, that all Scripture is given with inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for what the Bible teaches. It's profitable if we live like that. That's what doctrine is. It's the teaching of a way of the Bible life. And it's profitable for doctrine. The Word of God is. And for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. That means all the way through. Completely furnished. Made perfect. And thoroughly furnished unto every good work. But you know, I talked to so many people. Brother Ted and I were talking about people that claim to be born again Christians. And you talk with them, and you find out that they just talk. They really don't know what they're talking about. But God wants us to have a conscious knowledge of what we talk about. And He wants us to be ready to give an answer to every man, a reason for the hope that we have in us. Why we live like we live. Why we do like we do. He wants us to be able to tell them according to the book. Not according to some man's philosophy of life, but a reality of the life that God intended for man to live. Now, He gave His Son a sacrifice that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He doesn't want you and I. He never commissioned the ministers to bring condemnation upon the world. He wanted us to point them to Christ, the one to deliver them from condemnation. So this morning, I point you to Jesus Christ. This is the greatest life. God will make you so in demand. There is not any, I know one man that was a businessman, I won't call his name, but most of you know him. But he did so many things that was wrong to get to where he was in life. But you know the kind of people that he wanted in his employment? If you weren't religiously inclined, didn't have a background of doing right, he didn't want to have you in his employment. Because he's afraid that he might get somewhere near like himself, and they'd be more cunning than he was, and they'd take what he had from him. But he had confidence in God and his people enough that he wanted to hire that kind of people. You know, a man of God never does have to worry about employment. There may be times when you might be without it, but you don't have to worry. God will see to it that he'll make a way for you to have the things you need in life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, in a measure, everyone that's not saved today does not believe in the name of the Son of God to the saving of their soul. And this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's why the thieves work at night. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be found out. People that do wrong, they don't want to be found out. They want to do their things in secret. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest as they are wrought in God. Had a man come to the altar about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We asked him what he came to the altar for. What was his need? He said, "I want to get that religion like you've been talking about." I believe everyone wants something genuine. They don't want a man that's honest, wants the genuine salvation. And the only way to have salvation is to seek the Lord with all of your heart. Tell him you're sorry you're a sinner. You don't want to sin no more. You want him to forgive you, you see. It's just that easy. Why people don't want God to save them from their sins and blot them out, to remember them against them no more forever, it's a mystery to me. I know that man has a stubborn will in him. When I was unsaved, and hear the gospel preached, I wanted to be saved, but there was something in me that held me back. Then sang one song, and I knew I ought to go and get saved. I said, "Now if they sing another song, I'll go." Then sang another song. And I said, "If they'll sing another song, I'll go." But you know, I did that time and time again. But I'm so thankful that God is a God that looks down into our hearts and knows our desires. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, we want to read a few verses of Scripture. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows our desires. He knows that there's a stubborn will in man that holds him back. There's something about the devil that he wants to destroy you and I with such a vehement desire that he'll cause us to just stand back. He'll show us every little flaw and every little imperfection in everyone that professes to be a child of God. He'll bring thoughts to our mind just to keep us from getting saved. When we're in an atmosphere of the Spirit of God like we're here this morning, I believe God talks to every heart, but whenever you get out of the cares of life, everyday living, you just kind of pass it off. I did that. I'd make deals with God, and God would deal with me. But God never did fail one of His covenants He made with me. I'd tell God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do that for you. And I never did keep one of mine. God kept every one of his. But one day, the goodness of God, He just followed me and followed me. I never will forget. I like good singing. And there was some gospel singing on the radio. Oh, it touched my heart. It made me feel so good. There's something about singing that's a tranquilizer. It touches the inside. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, if you'll live for me, I'll make you feel this way all the time. No, that's what I wanted. You know, I began to lay aside the things that I knew was wrong. I began to be better to my wife. Began to quit going to places that I went to. Quit associating with people that I used to associate with. You know, influences of men, associations will keep men away from God. Did you know that? And the night I got saved, the preacher, I'd been dealing with God. I'd laid everything aside but one little thing. I don't believe it would be wrong for me to mention that little habit. I'd quit drinking, I'd quit cursing, I'd quit everything, but I just couldn't lay them cigarettes. I'd get up and I'd throw my package away, get up in the middle of the night, get in the trash, and get inside. But one day I wanted God more than I wanted that. And I said, Lord, I can't live for you this morning. And if you'll help me break this habit, by your grace, I'll live for you. You know what the Lord did? This was before I ever went to the altar to get saved. He just broke that like a piece of bread. Took every desire out of my heart. That was in 1946, and I never wanted to know. God said He'll give you power to become the Son of God. And He'll give you power over sin when He forgives you your sin. He don't just save you, leave you in the old same old condition. He gives you power in your life. It's hard for people to know that God can inject power that can control your mind. It can control your affections. Your appetites and your desires. God can inject that in you to cause you to be controlled. You can give up all those things and live a new life. I thought if God could cause the grass to die in the wintertime and cause it to resurrect in the spring, that He could surely break a cigarette habit. the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything that is laying dormant and dead as far as the eyesight is concerned, at the time of Easter time, when the resurrected Christ come out of the grave, everything comes back to life again. It's not so in the Christian life. He gives you life the year round. There's no laying dormant. We can produce fruits 12 months out of the year. The fruit trees have their seasons. We have our seasons too. We can bear fruit every day. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 18th verse, beginning at the 17th verse, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory." The Lord, I'll tell you, dear ones, that soul that has a desire to live for God. I asked an old-time saint one time about this smoking flax. They said, "Brother Ory, we used to build our fires out of flax, and we'd strike flint stones together to make a spark like that, and then it'd fall down on the flax. You had to know just how to fan that. If you fanned it too hard, you'd put it out. And if you didn't fan it hard enough, you wouldn't get no flax." And that's the way God is with our hearts and our souls. If he sees a desire for us to live for God, he won't break us, or he won't put the fire and desire out, but he'll fan it just right with his goodness and his mercy and his compassion and his sweet spirit that will follow after us and call us out of faith. This morning, I'm sure that there's some here in this house that has a desire to live for God. Now, you can't save yourself. It takes the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But you hold a key in your hand that turns that power loose. If you come down to this altar and tell God that you want him to save you, that unlocks the power of God. And the Holy Spirit will apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your life. And it'll cleanse you from all your sins. And wipe every one of them out. You'll be as innocent as a little baby. And you can go home. A child of God.